You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We are in a series called Hashtag Life, and we're looking at different chapters of life, ages and stages. And last week we looked at Gen Z, Generation Z, those from 10 years old to about 25 years old, and had a great time of insight of looking into it. And what we're trying to do is, if this is your category of life that we're discussing, we want to give you some truth for what you're going through. And if this is not your category of life, we want to give you some tools to minister to people that are in that category of life, because you've got friends, you've got family, you've got somebody maybe in your household that's in this chapter of life. And we're talking about singles today. And I want to shift your mind for the next probably 25 minutes for us to look at singles. But when we think about singles, most of us are thinking about from like 18 to about 30 is what we're thinking about. And we're thinking about those younger singles that have never been married. But I want to broaden your horizon as I talk to different groups. Yes, that group for sure. But to also realize that those that are divorced, you're single. Those that are widowed, you're single. There's older singles, there's younger singles. Do you know that if you were to look in the United States of America, there is 110 million single adults. 110 million. Just a couple weeks ago, September 15th through 21st, was Unmarried and Single Americans Week. The whole week was dedicated to it. Do you know that 40% of the voters in the last presidential election in 2016, 40% of the voters were singles in the election? So this is a tremendous group, an influential group, a big group. Let's look at our city. That's the United States. In our city, Houston, Texas, this is going to blow your mind. I didn't realize this till I started preparing for this. 58% of our city is single. 58%. Now, when you think about that, 58% seems like, wait a minute, what? 42% are married, 58% are single. That would divide out into 41% if never married, 3% are separated, 10% are divorced, and 5% are widowed. But 58%, over the majority in our city, is single. And when I was doing this series, I thought, well, I don't know. Will people need to connect with all these different ages and stages of life? And yes, most of us in our city are single. Now, when we think about that, that maybe can shape your mind. That can change your mind a little bit. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to give you three tools if you are a person that's not single right now to be able to minister to other people, three truths if you are single, and to be able to have us journey together as we think about single that have never married, those that have been divorced, and that those that have lost a spouse, that are grieving, that are a widow or a widower. Now, all of 1 Corinthians 7 is worth reading, no question about it. It's a great passage on all sorts of things, of marriage and even singlehood, but we're going to just take a few verses and look at it and not the whole chapter. So I want you to look at chapter 7, verse 7 through 9 is where we're going to start. 7 through 9, and this is what it says. Paul, who, by the way, was single, I wish that all people were as I am. He wishes that everybody was single. But each has his own gift, circle gift, has his own gift from God. One person has this gift, another has that gift, meaning some are gifted with singleness, some are gifted with marriage. Verse 8, I say to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with desire. The first thing that he tells us in this little section is he says that it's a great gift. It's a great gift. Did you see what he said? He said that singleness is a great gift. Now, by no means am I trying to say that God celebrated that you went through a divorce. By no means am I trying to say that there was some wrath of God that took your spouse through death. That's not what I'm saying. Paul is saying here that singleness is a gift of God because, as we'll see further on in the message, we're able to see God more clearly in the sense of undistracted devotion and to serve Him because our time isn't taken up with other things. But here's what I found throughout the years. It's the greatest gift that nobody wants. Everybody's trying to figure out, how can I return it? If this is such a great gift, can I bring it and return it and get my money back? Can I exchange it? What can happen on these different things? So in this thought of Paul, though, is saying, it's a great gift and don't even seek otherwise. Just stay with it. But it's a gift that oftentimes we don't want. And we've got to step back and say, okay, Lord, why have you given this season of life? You're in this season for a reason. Whether it's single or whether it's married, whether it's widowed, whether it's divorced, God's got you in a place for a reason. Now, as I've been thinking about this, I kind of thought through this. I like to have visuals, as you know, and so we've got this written out. I like to do this flip chart, and I've learned through the years to let my assistant do most of it, okay? That's what I've learned, because my writing is terrible, as you'll see in just a second. But I came up with what I'm calling a single circle, okay? And this is a process that we're on. The first thing here, and this is in your listening guide as well, so you can fill this out, is the first thing here at the top is freedom. Freedom, where we say, okay, I'm free. And that can maybe be that young single mindset, I'm free. I'm 18, I'm 19, 20 something, 30, whatever it is. And to be able to say, I'm free, I can do what I want, when I want. I can date him, I can date her, I can then break up, we can go on different dates, we can do a lot of friendship stuff. It's great, I am free, my time is mine, my attention is mine, and my choices are mine. And then you journey on this, and maybe you get married, maybe you don't, but you journey on this, and now a circumstance in life has changed things. So now let's look at three things. One, the circumstance, maybe you were married, and now you're divorced. Two, maybe in this, you weren't married, you never got married, and now you're still waiting, and you're wondering, Lord, is this ever going to happen? Is this ever going to take place in my life? I was the last one in my group to get married. I literally remember Christmas parties where everybody would stand in front of the mantle with their girlfriend or their fiance, and they would take their Christmas picture, and then they'd say, okay, Greg, and I'd stand up there like this. And then all my friends' girlfriends would start, well, you need to set you up with so-and-so and so-and-so and so, and we just started to hold that big whole setup game, right? And so here was I, and I was in this place. The circumstance for me was waiting. And I was like, Lord, is it ever? Lord, my heart hurts. God, I really want this, but I'm in a place of waiting. Or it could be death, that spouse has gone on to heaven if they've trusted in Jesus Christ, that there's a grief that happens, but some type of circumstance happens here. And the freedom moves to this divorce, pain, this waiting, this death. And so what happens now is we get to the next stage. The next stage is pain. Put that in your listening guide, pain. So freedom is now turned to pain. I've gone through a difficult circumstance. I'm waiting still. Divorce has happened, whatever it is. Well, our pain can look like this. We can be wounded. Every divorce hurts. There is not such thing as a good divorce. They all have pain in them. So there's a woundedness that takes place. There's a longing for those that want to be married, but it hasn't happened for them. And so there's a longing of this, gosh, Lord, I'm yearning for this, I'm wanting this, I'm praying for this, but I just can't seem to meet the right person or be in the right settings or whatever it is. And then there's a grief. I was married for years and years, and then my husband died or my wife died, and there's a widow or a widower here, and there's pain that happens. So what do we do with pain? Well, pain has to be surrendered. We surrender our hearts, our future, and our will, and we say, Lord, it's yours. And really, if you want to know the message for you that are single, this is in all of us, is surrender. That's the application point for this message. But what happens in our life is we get stuck in between this area, and we go back and forth on this. Oh, Lord, I surrender to you. You've got the future. Oh, man, I'm hurting so bad. Oh, Lord, I give you my will and my heart. Oh, Lord, I'm in so much pain. And we end up in this going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then what takes place is we drift back over here. When we come through that pain, we start reliving the circumstance. Well, I should have never married him in the first place. Well, Lord, I must have done something wrong, and you're making me pay, so I'm waiting. Gosh, why, Lord, am I? We did everything right, and yet he still died. Or she still died. And we end up where we get caught in this trough with our singleness. Where now we're here in this trough and we can't get out. But what God wants is he wants us to, yes, come through the pain, come to the place of surrender, and that we would be caught in this section here. This is what we want to go back and forth on. We want to go back and forth on surrender to freedom, surrender to freedom. Lord, I give it to you, and now I have freedom in my heart. Lord, I have freedom in my heart, so I'm trusting you with even more, and I'm going to give it back and forth. But here's where we end up caught right here in this moment. You ever been on that ride at the fair or at Pleasure Pier or, you know, Kima or something, where you get in that boat and it just goes back and forth and back and forth, way, way up and way, way up. And then finally it goes around, and that's the fun part. Whoom, we start going around. Wham, we're going around and around. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to come through this and get back to this freedom. Are you stuck in this? Are you stuck in this? Is it time to surrender your heart, your will, your future, and say, Lord, from that surrender, I need to get caught up in here. This is the place I need to be. And Paul is saying, I wish that you were just like me. This is a gift God's given you. Now, he's going to show us why it's a gift. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, same chapter. Now, drop down to verses 32 through 34. 32 through 34. And he's going to show us something here. In 32 through 34, he says, I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord. I'll tell you about this Greek word concerns in just a second. How he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be both holy in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of this world, how she may please her husbands. Now, guys, just underline that part of the scripture right there, how she may please her husband. And ladies, you could go back a few verses and underline how we could please y'all as well. So, but just a little marriage, a little battle we can have. Say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And so, verse 35, I'm saying this for your own benefit. For your own benefit. We'll talk about that in just a second. So here he's saying the second thing, there's a great gift, even though we all want to return it. He's saying, though, there's a greater freedom. There's a greater freedom. That the married woman has to be concerned about how she pleases her husband. That the husband has to be concerned about how he pleases his wife. But when you're single, all you got to be worried about is how you please the Lord. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is great, but it has a lot of concerns to it as well. That Greek word for concerns is a word that means to be anxious and pulled in different directions. Does that explain your parenting and your marriage at times? To be anxious and pulled in different directions. Well, it says for the single, though, that they could be devoted to the Lord, and all they've got to worry about is pleasing the Lord. Let's take just a comparison for just a second. Let's compare a single person who wants to go to dinner and a movie to a married person with kids that wants to go to a dinner and a movie. And let's see which one has got more of let's go. So the single person gets a phone call. Hey, you want to go eat? Yeah, I'm hungry. I'll meet you in 30 minutes. Where do you want to go? Let's pick a place. They pick a place. Hey, what movie do you want to go to? Let's go pick a movie. That's a great thing. Man, what a fun night. That was awesome. Well, hey, call me again. That sounds great. Okay, bye. Married person phone rings. Hey, do you want to go to dinner and a movie? Well, when? Like a month from now? I mean, we've got this whole thing. We're doing baseball this year and we're doing sports. Now. Okay, let me think through if I want to go to dinner. Dinner's going to cost between $50 and $100 depending on where we go. Then when we get there to dinner, nobody in this family is going to be completely satisfied with where we chose dinner. We've learned to solve it in our family. We go to two drive-thrus. We'll just go to, you want this, you want that? Great, we'll go to the two drive-thrus. Now, Dad won't go through three, but we'll give you two, okay? To just make it easy. Sometimes it's just easier to solve the problem, isn't it? So we finally find out the restaurant. We get to the restaurant. Who are we going with again? Do I know them? Do I like them? The different generations now have to connect, all these different things. It's going to cost $50 to $100. Now let's go to the movie. That'll be cheap, right? You could buy an entire DVD player and a flat screen possibly for what you're going to spend at the movie. You sure get a few months on Netflix with what's about to happen. So now you show up as a parent, but you're nervous as a parent because you know what kind of cussing is going to be in there. What kind of scenes are going to be in there? Am I going to mess up my kid's brain with this? What's going to happen with this? Is this good parenting or bad parenting? What do I need to do? So you sit there through the whole movie going, oh, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Close your eyes, close your eyes. Okay, look, oh, close your eyes. And it's so stressful because you're going to ruin your family and your kids by taking them to this movie. But when you're a single adult, you kind of go, yeah, it happens, okay, a couple cuss words, that's the way it goes sometimes. So then everybody at the movie, they also want to eat. Again, you just ate at dinner, but everybody wants popcorn. Everybody wants a Coke. They don't want just a small little, you know, budget size, if there is such at the movie theater. They want the huge bucket of popcorn that's good because it's free refills, Dad. We'll eat all this and we get free refills. But the type of refills, if you refilled this popcorn, you just took a year off your life is what you did, okay? So everybody gets a big Coke, everybody gets a big popcorn. You know, as a dad, in your mind, we could buy this much popcorn at Kroger for like a dollar, but somehow, here's another $50 that's going on this. I mean, so much, I've got like an awards thing at the movies, so now I've got like points. It's like frequent flyer miles at the movies to try to get stuff. So there's a totally different concern that's happening on one side and the other, and they're both awesome. I want you to hear blessings of both. Blessings of both. wonderful chapters. But God's got a place here that he's saying to us, but your singlehood, you can be not worried about anybody else, any other thing. And I don't tell you this so that you'll go to the movies and you'll go out to eat. I tell you this so that you'll go forward in ministry. I tell you this so that you'll interact with people. I tell you this so that you'll have somebody that God lays on your heart that you can pray for and you can share Christ with and you can call up and say, let's go do something. I tell you this for eternal purposes, not just to get popcorn and Cokes and go to a movie and dinner, but that you would let God use you in a great way. You've got some time. You've got some freedom. Don't squander it with dreaming about the next stage. We say this in our home, daddy's nice till 9 is what we say. Daddy's nice till 9. What does that mean? Because as a man with kids and a job and all those sort of things, I get 1 hour of discretionary time a day. It's from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's my hour. And so if you start messing with me at 9:10, no, go to your room, right? I mean, that's how it goes. Because you got work that happens all day long. Work sometimes follows you home even. Then you get there and it's homework and stuff going on. It's family dinners. It's activities. It's all those things. And then finally by 9, everybody's trying to settle towards bed. And then to hopefully get in bed by 10 or 11 sometimes. To be like, so daddy's nice till 9. That's our phrase. It's not my James Dobson moment. I understand. It's not going to be on a t-shirt that we're going to make with Houston's First Baptist Church. Daddy's nice till 9. That's how it goes. That's not good parenting, right? I understand that. But it's functional. It works, all right? And those of you that have kids can amen me. Those of you that don't can judge me, but you'll see one day, okay? There's so much going on. I need at least an hour, right? But you as a single adult, whether it's divorced, whether it's grieving, whether it's never been married, whatever it is, you've got some time that he says here, Paul says, a single man himself, you're not distracted. You're not concerned. You're not pulled in all these different ways. I'm not saying you're not busy. I'm just saying you've got some freedom that's there. So enjoy this time. Remember in college, I came to the realization if life had a fast forward button, I would miss all of life. High school, I wanted to go to college. College, I wanted to go to work. Work, I wanted to get married. Married, I wanted to have kids. Then when you have kids, I assume your kids get old enough. We don't want this at this stage, but your kids would have grandkids for you kind of thing. And then on it would go. And we're always wanting to press fast forward. Let me tell you what, if you spend your life pressing fast forward, which you can't, but if you could, you would end up being more selfish than you already are. We're already all selfish, I mean, right? We're streaked and stained with selfishness, but we would be so much more selfish because it would all be about what I want when I want it. And instead, God makes us walk through things to slow us down, reason for the season that you're in, and to be able to sit in it and to grow in that. So enjoy this time. Singles, you make a huge difference in our church, I want you to know. One of our singles works with our children in particular. She's such an amazing lady, works with the smallest, the kind of the ones that are crawling on the floor, little bitties. Well, in working, she got so excited about the ministry she was doing, she went and recruited 10 more singles to come and be a part of that ministry of what God's doing. It's amazing. Do you know that just one example? Our Corner Books here at the Loop campus. Corner Books is 50% of our volunteers are single adults. We couldn't do Corner Books and those resources without our single adults. If you were to look at our church, you would see singles, not just young singles, singles all the way through from empty nester, from widows and senior adults, all the way back to those that have never married and the kind of those younger 20s. We couldn't do what we do without a church, with our church, without singles being involved. It's amazing. It's incredible what God has done. So cool. Greater freedom. You have greater freedom. If you don't believe all that, singles, here's what I'll give you. Last thing. Look how tired your married friends are. Just look at them, especially if they got kids. They got a bunch of kids, it's going to be even worse. Tired, okay? Look how tired they are. And go, you know, Lord, I'm going to enjoy this season right now. This is going to be good, and I'm going to let you use it. So a greater freedom. Number three, my third point, we're going to see in verse 35. It's this. I'm saying this, and this is a key verse. This is the main verse. I'm saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you. That's a Greek word for like a lasso, that you would be roped and contained and pulled. Not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper. So you need to be pure as a single adult. To what is proper, and so that, that's our key two phrases, two words, so that, whenever you see that, circle it in your Bible, so that, why? You may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Why are you single? So that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Third and final point is this, a greater focus. You have a greater gift. A great gift has been given to us in marriage and in singlehood. There's a greater freedom that you have to just please the Lord and not worry about other folks. There's a greater focus that you have on living an undistracted devotion to the Lord. Isn't that great? That's amazing. See, what happens in our singlehood a lot of times, particularly if you're younger, we end up, our devotion is to finding that person. I want to find that person. Students, you listen as well. I want to find that person. So I spent a lot of years walking into a room going, Lord, is my wife in this room right now? Is she in here right now? I think she is, God. That's her. That's the one I want right there. And to be able to say, Lord, I can't walk into every room worried about where my wife is. I need to walk into every room worrying about where my ministry is, where my difference-making will be, where my heart is. What can I do to give? Because what's happening is I'm getting caught in the trough, Lord. Oh, dear God, help me, help me, help me. Oh, man, why am I still single? Oh, dear God, help me, help me, help me. Why did he or she die? Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. Why am I going through this divorce? And we end up, you just finally get sick of rocking back and forth, and you just end up wallowing in the pain. And you sit right here. And that's a big, long jump from freedom in Christ to pain. Now, we're all on this. You're going to go through pain. Surrender it to the Lord and then take the freedom that God gives you through that. And so don't spend all your time worrying about what's next. Just be undistractedly devoted to Christ. Now, give you an example of this. There was a billboard that was in Utah, and this is what it looked like of a guy named Lance. His friends did this to him, okay? He did not do this. His friends raised the money. And so right there in Mormon country, it says he's a returned missionary, ex-BYU basketball player, Harvard MBA, loves kids and has a sense of humor. I'm Lance. Let's go out. www.datelance.com. His friends paid for this billboard for him. So a young lady got interested, and her friends got a billboard for her. This is what hers is. Hi, I'm Anna Marie. Let's go out, Lance. www.datemelance.com. So now they've got competing billboards. Now, here's what's interesting, especially if you're my age or older. You'll know this. Youngers, you just ask somebody. You'll know this kind of. But that is Donnie and Marie Osmond's niece is who that is. That's Anna Marie Osmond, okay? So a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll going on there. Those of y'all remember the show. So I don't know that they got together. I don't think that they did. But I want you to hear loud and clear. The billboard of your life is, I love Jesus. The billboard of your life is, Jesus is enough. The billboard of your life is, God has given me an opportunity in this moment for a greater focus of undistracted devotion to the Lord. Are kids great? Yes, they are. I love my kids. Love your kids even. Marriage great? Yes, it is. Love my wife? I don't love your wife the same way. I think she's great, though. But God's given you a chapter, a moment to be able to have undistracted devotion to the Lord. So go to that surrender on our little chart back here and pop up to the freedom. So that is the key that he gives us. So your billboard is, I love Jesus. And your billboard is, Jesus is enough. And God, your will is my will, and I'll do whatever you want. And then let God bring that man or that woman. Let God do what he wants to do, whatever it is. Let me show you a verse of scripture. So we begin to wrap up. Luke chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll put it on the screen, verse 36 through 38. This is a widow, her name is Anna, and she is in Luke chapter 2, which is Jesus is a small baby. They bring him to the, or actually kind of a little bit older, probably in his twos. They bring him to the temple, and she's there. She's like, wow, we've been waiting for this, and here he is. Here's what it says. There was also a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, so she's an older woman, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. So she was only married 7 years and was a widow for 84 years, okay? Now, some commentators think that that's after 7 years of marriage, she was a widow for 84 years. Other people will say, no, she's 84 years old, okay? Doesn't really matter, but we can get the point. Married a short time, and an older lady at this point. So married for or widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple. Do you hear undistracted devotion? Serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be at the church every time the door's open. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying your heart, undistracted devotion, Lord. As a widow, widower, as a person that's gone through a divorce, as a person that's waiting on God to bring you somebody. Whatever it is that you would walk with devotion without distraction. God bless us as married people as well. We should do the same thing. But you get my point. Put your eyes on the Lord. Put your eyes on the Lord. Now, when I think about that, I think about the power that that has in our lives of focusing in on those things. It's a powerful, powerful thing. I remember on sabbatical, I went and ate dinner by myself, and I'm an extrovert of extroverts, but I've gotten where I can go to a movie by myself. I can eat dinner by myself. I can be by myself. About once a month, I'll spend a day by myself and just be praying. I call it working on the ministry, not working in the ministry. Well, God, what do you want to do? Where do we need to go? Those sort of things. And so sabbatical, I'll do that, and I'll do it for maybe like 2 or 3 days by myself. Now I'll call home and all that sort of thing. But the big problem is I don't know how to cook very well, so I eat out a lot, okay, is what happens. So I went to a restaurant, and I walked in, and the guy said, what do you need? And I said, table for one. And I started walking to the table. I thought, table for one, table for one. As I sat down at the table and was about to bless the food when it came, I felt like the Lord said to my heart, it's never a table for one. It's always a table for two. I'm with you. I'm right here with you. And I was like, Lord, will you pull up a chair? Let's just, I know you're omnipresent, but just right here, just be here. And table for two. You're at a table for two. No matter if it's widowed, I mean, we got verses upon verses of God taking care of the widows, or if it's divorce, or if it's longing. And let me just say quickly on divorce. When I was in college ministry, I had great theology on divorce. And I still have great theology on divorce. But pastoring has brought to me the other side of the coin, which is also great compassion with divorce. And you've got to put together great theology. Does God want no divorce? No, he doesn't. He hates divorce. But nobody wants to get divorced. And there's a lot of pain that goes through that. So can we marry? Can we put together, in a sense, not to negate our theology? We know that God wants us to stay married. We got to work and fight and do all those things. So I'm not negating that at all. But at the same time, to come around people and to care for them and to be able to minister to them and love them. So I just want you to know, if you're divorced, we welcome you here at our church. We love you, and we need you, and we want your input. If you're widowed here or widower, we love you. We need you and want your input. If you're a single adult that's never married, we love you. We need you. We want your input. God's using you, and you're an amazing person of the Lord. And so let's put our theology, and let's also put our compassion together to care for people so that we can say, I want you to know it's always a table for two. There's 8 singles in the Bible I want to show you. Just, we're going to go through it fast. 8 singles. Number one is Paul. I mean, there's more than 8. I'm going to give you 8. There's number one is Paul. He had a gift of singleness, as we saw here. Anna, that we just talked about, she was devoted to the Lord and being able to share her heart for God in the temple. Martha, number 3, Martha illustrates that single people can get distracted and busied about a whole lot of other things instead of being at the feet of Jesus. Jeremiah, he suffered with loneliness, but he faced it and realized that the Lord had called him to a great high purpose. Ruth encountered shattered dreams. She didn't know that death was going to take place like it did in her life, and her dreams were shattered, but she kept moving forward and saying, Lord, I want you to use me. Shattered dreams of divorce or grief or not being married when you thought you'd be married. Joseph, purity in the midst of temptation. The leader's wife that he worked for was coming on to him, and I'm sure she was gorgeous in that day to be able to be taken care of in those ways, and he ran out of the house. And we've got to learn to flee temptation and run. Number 7, Nehemiah. He had immense adversity in his life, yet he remained faithful and he built the wall. Number 8, John the Baptist, always a groomsman and never a groom. He abandoned the world and said, you know what, I'm going to take a road of sacrifice and my whole life is going to be pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus. So I just want you to hear those singles. If you're single, this is truth for you. If you're not, it's a tool for you to let God do something great in your life. It's not an accident. He hasn't forgotten about you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. Receive and be able to say, Lord, I want to take this freedom. I'm going to walk through the circumstances. Yes, it's going to hurt at times, but I'm going to surrender and walk in freedom. And I'm going to try to stay here as best I can. And sometimes I'll dip all the way through, but I don't want to live down here anymore. I want to walk with you, and I want to have undistracted devotion to you, Jesus. Last thing I'll tell you, and we'll close our message. When I was single before Kelly and I got married, I would sing. I'm a worshiper. I hope you know, and I hope you are too, of just singing to the Lord and that form of worship. And there was a song I would sing, and it was, "You're the Love of My Life." And you saw my singing skills on the video, so I won't try to give you too much more. But "You're the Love of My Life. You're the Joy of My Morning. You're the Song in My Heart, and I will praise Your Holy Name." And I would have that longing to be married. I'd have that longing to have that last call of the day. I'm coming home. This is what happened today. And I would long for that, and I would sing that song. But Lord, You're the love of my life. You're the joy of my morning. You're the song in my heart, and I will praise Your holy name. And I would just sing that to God from a heart that wanted to be with somebody. And then Kelly and I, on our wedding day, August 2nd, 1997, we stood there at the altar, and we had three songs that we were to sing together as a congregation. And the main song of that was, "You're the love of my life. You're the joy of my morning. You're the song of my heart, and I will praise Your holy name." But here's the deal. It didn't switch to where I was now singing this to Kelly. It was a declaration as we held hands on that marriage altar right there, and we sang together, "You're still the love of my life. You're still the joy of my morning. You're still the song of my heart, and I will still praise Your holy name. I got a new love of my life here on earth, but I still got my same eternal love of my life here in heaven, and that's Jesus." We also sang, "I Surrender All," to just say this same thing. I didn't know this whole thing would come up years later, but to be able to say, "We surrender to You, God." So it never changes. We're still to be devoted to Jesus. And that's what heals our heart, no matter what we've gone through. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you trusted Him in your heart and your life? Are you surrendered to Him and letting Him do His work in your life? We're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a second. I know we've gone long. We've had some amazing baptisms. Remember how incredible those were? 15-year anniversary. Thank you for taking the time out of the service to honor our family after these 15 years. In this moment, to be able to give a message that's for 58% of our city, at least, to be able to understand what God can do. So let's pray together. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We love You and we thank You, God. You're incredible, and we pray, Father, as we respond to You, Lord. May we respond with a heart of surrender wherever we are. Maybe we need to talk to somebody. Maybe we need to get down on the prayer rails here at the front. Maybe we just need to ponder some things. But Lord, help us to walk in the freedom of Christ because we surrender. Our number one action point, guys and gals, is surrender right now in this moment. That's our number one action point. Then let's trust God. Let's surrender to Him. And we give this all to You. Surrender to Him. I'll close this and we'll worship.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.